Day from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because I got a whole bunch of that stuff on the show where you can find help and hope. And Lynn's not here today. I'm sorry to say she's still out with her broken collarbone, so we hope that you're feeling better.
Substituting for Lynn is...
Ed on the boards. Hey, Ed, how are you today?
Not too bad. Glad to see you're back from Colorado Springs.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. I had a fabulous time. So that other voice you heard sitting in Lynn's seat is Attorney Sean Scott. How are you today?
I'm really good. Excellent.
Me too.
Awesome.
Me too. Glad to be here. We also have my friend Rachel McInerney from Arden Courts here today. So happy to see you.
So good to see you. Thank you for having me.
You know, we're always back and forth with like texting and emailing and everything. Then we get to see each other in person.
How do I look?
You look fabulous. How do I look?
You look gorgeous. Okay, you look refreshed. Colorado must have been good for you.
Colorado was lovely. You know, I got to see my granddaughter and her husband. She's expecting a baby in March, so that was just like loveliness. And Devin is so into it with Skylar. You know, he's so happy about they put the stroller together, and he's like, "This is nice. The best stroller. I did all the homework."
Such an exciting time.
Yeah, so it was really nice. And I'll be back there in March. I'm actually going to be there with her when she gives birth. So that's so exciting.
First baby, right?
For grandbaby.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna be a great grandma.
Oh my.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew, right?
Who knew?
I don't believe it.
But it's all good. But it's kind of good because I get to be a great grandma when I'm still like mobile.
Yeah.
You know, I had a great grandma. A lot of people didn't have a great grandma that are my age because she lived to 99. And all I remember was she lived in Rhode Island and we would go there to visit and she just like sat in a chair.
Right.
Said hello, little girl, you know, whatever. But. I'm pretty good. I can like, do some stuff
dynamic.
With the baby. Yeah, I'm ready. And it's a boy, and his name is going to be Landon Thomas. And Thomas is my husband's name. So that's kind of cool. So that's really nice.
Awesome.
So what I want to do is I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Valerie in Largo. We have Lucy in Beverly Hills. And we have Janetta in Seminole. Like I say, there's always plenty of room around the caregiving table for more listeners, whether you listen to us live on the radio or on YouTube or on my website or wherever, Facebook.
Lots of ways to get here.
Yeah, we get around. We get around. I just want to say, as always, I so respect what you do, and I know this is a tough time of year for caregivers. It's a tough time of year for anybody, I think. So we made it through Thanksgiving, but now we're going to start with Christmas. And Hanukkah and everything else. And we had a big discussion on the support group this morning about let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it simple. And I spoke to a caregiver the other day that said she didn't realize it and she took her mom, her mom lives with her, from her house to her sister's house for Thanksgiving, which was 4 miles away. But the traffic, the lights, the everything freaked out her mom.
Just really?
Because she hasn't been out of the house in so long. They didn't think about that. You know, I didn't think about that either. You figure out, we're only going 4 miles away. We're going right to Sis's house where the mom knows and everything. But the drive, the 4 mile drive, she said, just put her mom like totally off kilter.
Just the act of getting in and out of the car, I've heard from a lot of caregivers, has been really difficult and will set them off, or they find that that time in the car is what actually agitates them. So it's not the change in setting, it's the actual transit.
Yeah. It's everything and things that you just don't think about.
Well, a change in the different stimulus for them as well. Once you're used to something and now you throw something else at you, you could be in a delicate situation and that can create issues, right?
Well, you know, for myself, and this is what I said, if you're having a family gathering, that's fabulous because probably mom would love a family gathering, wants to see family, wants some kind of tradition. But I know... For myself now, if there's more than a dozen people in the room, it's a little too much for me. So think about how that could be for mom.
Yep.
So I'm not saying you shouldn't have that gathering, but if you do, have some place in the house where mom can go and have some quiet time. And maybe people can go in one at a time and spend some time with her one-on-one. Because otherwise, there's like all these people talking, all this stuff is going on. So think about that. And think about, you don't have to do the big to-do, and you don't have to do it on Christmas Day.
No kidding. Yes. We have Christmas observed in our house often. Thanksgiving observed was this year, too.
Why not?
You know, why do it on Thursday? Friday was a lot easier.
So, you're still thankful on
Friday?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. So I just want everybody to think about that. And it makes it easier for the caregiver when you think about this, too, because you don't want mom to be agitated. And mom doesn't want to see you agitated because you, as the caregiver, you're trying to like do all this stuff, make everything great, and you're like a little freaking out, although you don't think you do, or you are probably gritting your teeth a little bit. And you don't think mom feels that?
I don't know. They're very much sensitive, I think, to the overall world around them, for sure.
And the last thing I want is for my daughter to be upset.
Correct.
And for anybody to be upset, because
I think that you can really clue into that, and all of a sudden that becomes your new reality. I think calmness, simplicity, I like what you said earlier. Keep it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. Mm-mm. It doesn't have to be loud, and yet it can be different than what it used to be. It doesn't have to be exactly what you used to do 10 years ago.
Right.
You get to make the rules. Make the rules so that your person is successful.
Well, you know what? Other things have changed in 20 years. I like different restaurants now. I have different hobbies. I have different. So why do I have to have the same Thanksgiving or Christmas?
I have different wives. So things change.
I have nothing. I'm just me, thank you. But really, you know what I'm saying? Talk to me, Rachel, a little bit. All right, first of all, tell a little bit to our listeners who don't know about Art and Quartz what Art and Quartz is.
Yeah, well, I would hope by now they do. But no, I'm the memory care advisor for Art and Quartz of Largo. We're a not-for-profit memory care community. We are owned, however, by a very much larger not-for-profit healthcare organization, which makes us a little bit different than a lot of the other memory care providers in the county. So I agree with everything you said as far as the holidays. Even when you have your loved one in a community, that doesn't stop making it a difficult time of year for caregivers. I always say you never stop being a caregiver, even if your loved one is in a community.
Exactly.
So they come to us all the time struggling with how, you know, should we take mom or dad out of the community to celebrate the holidays? Should we bring the whole family to the community to celebrate the holidays? Should we observe the holidays at all? So I think it's different for every family. The right answer, it's not a one size fits all.
Right.
But what I tell most of them is don't be afraid to say no to the other family members. So if it's not serving your purposes as a caregiver and it's not serving your loved one's purposes, it's okay to say no. I feel like caregivers are notorious for being people pleasers. The ones that step up to the caregiver plate, it's inherent that they also have a hard time saying no.
Yeah, definitely true.
Very interesting. I agree. And that thing when all of a sudden you're the local caregiver, you're the Johnny on the spot, Jane on the spot, you're doing all the things here. And again, whether in Arden Courts, for example, or in your own home or in theirs, all of a sudden your siblings roll into town.
Exactly.
And they don't know the situation, or they're just like, okay, we're going to be here because this is our one time a year that we see mom or dad, and they're going to just steamroll right over you because I haven't seen mom. You need to protect your person.
Yes.
Right? You need to protect your person. And sometimes that does mean no. But no with, let me explain to you, no. Don't say no to your siblings. But hey, listen, this is what's going on. Maybe we can solve this better than you just coming in and hitting it.
Yeah, and maybe you don't have to come on Christmas. Maybe can you come the week after or 2 weeks after and just spend some time with mom.
Right, exactly. But you get to make the rules. You don't have to do it this on the 24th of December.
No.
So.
No, and you don't have to deal with all the people either because, first of all, if they haven't been around, they don't know what's going on. They may come in, this is what I hear all the time. They come in and they visit and they go, Mom's just fine.
What's wrong with her? She's
about?
Fine.
She doesn't need to go into any community or something like that.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
You don't know what's going on because, you know what? Mom can fake it to the best of her ability, especially if it's a nice occasion that she likes. And I tell my grandchildren and my children, God forbid I ever get dementia, I'm going to be the best faker there is. I know every trick in the book. But no, really, come and spend some time with your loved one, not during the holiday.
Understand. And if it's a like this, make it your own when you want it to. Again, do it on the 1st or the 3rd, 23rd, right, or some other. It doesn't have to be on that day with all that stress. Thanksgiving for us this year, you know, we have a blended family, and that can always be a struggle, mm-hmm, right? You know, where do the kids go, and who are they spending time with, right? Yeah. Whose turn is it, and all that malarkey. And our solution to that is like, well, you do whatever you need to do, but let's have our turkey on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't care where, you know, why do we have to all fight over with that one day? So same thing.
Well, so with for how many years? So my sister's a nurse. She worked on Thanksgiving.
Right.
They always had their Thanksgiving on another day. It was just fine.
Flexibility.
Yeah. Flexibility. That's the key.
Yes.
I think if you could sum it up.
No expectations.
Be flexible. Yep.
Yeah. But with people that live at Arden Courts, if I want to come there and have a dinner with my mom and maybe a couple of family members, is that possible to do stuff like that?
Absolutely. So we always want to provide them with a space to have those continued rituals, because that's what makes life important, right? These things that we've always done as a family.
Right.
So within the guidelines of being flexible, we provide families with that space. We have larger rooms where they can reserve that room. They can decorate that room.
Yeah.
We can provide the food. They can provide the food. So they're flexible, but we also try to be as flexible as possible with the families. We really want them to come to feel like Arden Courts is their parents' home, and we make ourselves at home at our parents' home, right? We just walk right in. We don't have to call or make an appointment, so we also want the families to feel that way.
Well, Arden Courts is so homey. I mean, it's homey.
I agree 100%.
Walk in there, yep. It's homey.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah, you guys do it really well. Especially so you could be in Arden Courts in Ohio and move to Arden Courts in Largo, and your loved one might not even know they moved.
They like you to know?
There is some consistency there. Yeah. I agree, yes. But a good consistency.
Fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, routine and consistency with people with dementia and Alzheimer's or any kind of cognitive impairment is really crucial.
Oh, it's how they get by. Absolutely.
Yeah. But the thing is to talk to people. If your loved one is in a community, don't assume you can't do this, you can't do that. Talk to the people who are in the community. I know that if you're listening to the show and you're thinking, my loved one is not in a community, but in the future they may have to go into a community, and I'm still not sure how I'm going to handle the holidays, you can get in contact with me. You can get in contact with Rachel, because they're experts at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
they can talk to you and give you good advice. You know, and maybe you think about, I don't know, what's going to happen with the holidays? You're going to see the decline.
Oh, we get those calls all the time. So we do have the out-of-towners who come in and want to tell the primary local caregiver, like, I don't know what you're talking about. They seem fine. But we also have the opposite, where the out-of-town siblings or caregivers are like, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I got several calls on Thanksgiving Day, you know, tears. I'm
on
so sorry.
Day.
I'm so sorry to, you know, disturb your Thanksgiving, but we just don't know what to do here. Like, we don't want to have to take mom or dad to the hospital. But it's really an eye-opening experience for out-of-town caregivers. So we are available 24 hours a day, but the crises do tend to come in a higher volume around the holidays.
Sure.
Yeah. Because the holidays is a crisis for everybody, whether you have Alzheimer's, dementia, or anything.
It's stressful.
Yeah. But we have a choice to make it stressful or not. We have a choice about, you know, how we're going to handle it, what we're going to do about it. So think about what your choices are. Think about what you want for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. Think about what you want your loved one to feel that day.
And don't put so much on you. I mean, I keep on going back to this recent Thanksgiving that we had at home. It was probably one of the nicest, easiest Thanksgivings we have had in memory. And I think one of the key things was we really kept it simple, and we kind of changed expectations a little bit. Like, well, they didn't have any turkey. I didn't have to drive around town finding a darn turkey.
Right.
You switch gears and go to Cornish Hen. It's the same thing.
Right.
And it was better than we could have ever imagined, because we kept it simple and managed those expectations.
And then you get to be together and enjoy each other.
That's the important part. Exactly.
Just get together and enjoy each other.
I did lose at Rummy Cube, though. I did. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm still I thought I had him, but no, it took me beat me three times in a row. So
hey, I won $32 on left, right, center.
What?
Yeah. I should have been in Vegas instead of Colorado.
Yeah.
But see, that's the fun stuff.
You know, right, exactly. That's the point, is yeah. Focus on what's important and let some of that other stuff go, and you'll have a much better time. And so will the person you're taking care of.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rachel, as we're approaching this, what is your best advice for caregivers right now?
In terms of the holidays?
Yeah.
So just having a plan. So we all can get stressed out. And it's easy to say, you know, don't worry about the details and be flexible. But when the issues are right in front of us, right, it's a little bit more difficult. So when you feel yourself kind of getting to that elevated place, it's good to already have a plan. Like, okay, if I get stressed out, this is my plan. Like, I'm going to take 10 deep breaths. And yeah. then I'm going to call
go
my
in the bath,
sister.
I'm going to shut the door.
Right. Yeah. Or have a plan of people you want to call for support. So have your, you know, your support plan in place. So, you know, have people that can come and take mom or dad out if you need to make preparations for the holidays, have them on standby. You know, just get your team together and just have a strategy for if you start feeling agitated yourself.
Okay.
Because your loved one feeds off of that, absolutely.
100%.
So let's talk about the team. So people all the time ask the caregivers, anything I can do to help you? And this is what the caregiver says. No, I'm okay.
I got this.
Yeah. Which is the biggest baloney in the world. So, caregivers, listen to me. Take a little time to sit down and make a list of some things you can accept help with. And it may be mowing your lawn.
Yeah. Delegate, delegate, delegate.
Right.
It's okay to delegate. You don't have to carry the entire burden.
You know, when my mom passed away, I met a woman in the supermarket. She said, how you doing, Linda? I said, I'm okay. And she said, you know, I'm sick of hearing that from you. I said, oh, okay. And she said,
yeah,
I have
right.
to let you know, when you took care of your mother, you stole my joy. And I said, hey, what?
What?
And she said, I could see you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help you, you said, no, I'm okay. She goes, and you didn't give me the opportunity to get to know your mom.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's very interesting. You know, I say to caregivers, if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one. I hate to say that. Sounds a little tough, sounds a little rough, but it's true.
And that's not necessarily the norm that we see all the time, but that is definitely a thing. And, you know, in my practice where I have these caregivers coming into my office in this time of need, I do see a lot of people that forget about themselves. And, you know, the old saying, you got to put your mask on before you put the person next to you in the airplane.
And
the statistics are
huge.
Yep.
It's something like 68% of the caregivers over the age of 65 are dying before the person they're taking
care of.
That's
exactly true.
That's
the statistic, yeah.
And then what happens? Your worst scenario comes true.
Correct.
Your worst scenario comes true. And many times caregivers aren't prepared for any other scenarios, too.
Yes.
So let's try to have a support team. So when people ask if they can help you, even if you don't know what it is at that moment, just say, let me get back to you. Because I know sometimes the caregiver is like, damn, you give me one more thing I got to think about. How you can help me.
That's it. I can't do it.
I'm worried about how I'm going to do the laundry today. And please don't think you're the only one that can do laundry. You know, that could be a great burden on
somebody. Outsource. Yes.
Yeah.
Outsource that stuff.
And sometimes we don't think about that stuff. We think about the person directly helping my mom do something. You're thinking, well, they're not going to bathe there. They're not going to do. But they can help with all that other stuff.
Yep.
One of my caregivers, I said about the lawn mowing. She was in the support group like 3 years. And finally she goes, I let my neighbor mow the lawn. And we're like, yes. And she goes, but they told me he didn't have to do the edging.
Like, no. That was a big moment for her, apparently.
That was a big moment for her.
Sure.
And, you know, and then I had another caregiver who said, you know, my husband's dementia is so bad that I really can't take him out in public. He's very verbal. He's confrontational and all this stuff. She said, but I just wanted to go to church. I'm like mad, Linda, that I can't go to church. It's important to me. She said, but my next one neighbor is always asking if he could help me out, and he's Jewish. She said, so I went over to him, and I said, do you think you could hang out with my husband when I go to church on Sunday? And he said, sure, I would love to do that.
And it just worked out because he was Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So she said she ran to church, went to her service, and she ran home. When she got home, they were playing dominoes, and they said, go away. We don't need you here.
We're all fine.
The house isn't on fire.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. The house isn't on fire.
So she gives 3 hours. He gives her 3 hours every Sunday morning.
Nice.
Now, so she can go to church. She can go for a walk. She can do whatever she wants to do. And the neighbor gets to see his friend. And her husband gets to see somebody else other than her. Because as much as you think you're the bomb caregiver, how no one can do it the way I do it. And so sometimes your loved one is saying underneath their breath, would you please go away for a little while?
Right.
You know, every time a caregiver gets respite and they come back, their loved one is like, hey, it's good to see you, with a smile on your face.
Yes, it's a break for everybody.
Right. Because I don't want to be a burden on my children or who's ever taking care of me. I don't want to see them miserable taking care of me.
Yep. That's the consensus.
Because how sad is that going to make me? It's just going to make me sadder.
Yep.
So try to keep it simple, people. Try to let people help you. Let people help you. It's good for your loved one, too, to see different people. And when you come up to the holidays, too, now this is another issue we've been talking a bit about, my caregivers and I, is. So I come to see Grandma. I haven't seen Grandma in a while. Grandma doesn't remember my name. Oh my God, she doesn't remember my name. Well, that can be very hurtful to people at times. So I have one clue is you could take a photo of yourself when you're younger and pin it on your shirt, because many times when they see that photo, they can make that connection. Not always, but many times they can. My other suggestion is to bait them. So when my uncle had dementia, I would go visit him. I'd say, hey, Uncle Jimmy, it's me, Linda, your favorite niece.
Help them out.
Right. Yes. So
sure,
I,
why not?
So I gave them a little bit.
Yep.
And you know what? Even though they don't remember your name, they still remember you. They just don't remember your name. They remember the feeling. They remember the love. They remember that you're an important person in their life.
Yes.
They just don't remember the name. So don't make a big deal about that.
It's not a big deal.
No.
Period.
It's not a big deal. I'm just happy to see Grandma. And then it's like, okay, so Grandma might be at a stage where it's hard to have conversation. Well, what do I talk to Grandma about? Because Grandma's not who Grandma was before. So I suggest that you make a memory box. So if Grandma was a Girl Scout leader, go online and print out some pictures of Girl Scouts. And if she was born in Brooklyn, print out some pictures of Brooklyn. And if you're really clever on the back, you'll say she lived on Green Street from 1943 to 1958.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she was a cook or whatever. Well, then you can pick that up and say, you know, I never knew you were a Girl Scout leader.
Yep, yep.
Tell me about that. Now, many times they can click right in, sometimes they won't. Maybe you're going to have to pick up a second one.
Yep, absolutely. And be flexible on that conversation.
And say, I heard you were a really good cook in the day.
Yeah, it's definitely not a test. We're
no.
testing your memory.
Right.
Right.
So we want to stay away from lots of questions.
Correct.
And that's a normal, I mean, when we talk about conversation, that's a normal thing we learn early in life about the dynamics of conversation. I ask you a question, you respond and ask me a question. So with somebody with dementia, it's a difficult thing to learn how to have a conversation in terms other than those. So stay away from questions. You don't have to have short-term memory to discuss the weather.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's fine to just sit with the person you love and make observations about the environment.
Right.
And they enjoy somebody just engaging with them. So it's important that people don't feel like they have to have some two-way conversation that has tons of meaning.
Maybe you just sit there and hold their hand.
Yes, absolutely.
Touch them, please. Touch them, please. Touch them, please. Hold their hand. Give them a hug. Give them a little rub. Everybody needs that.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, so when I'm talking about the memory box, so one of my caregivers did this on Thanksgiving, and her granddaughter came over. Well, it turned out that her mom was in the military.
Really?
And so she had put up some pictures.
Right.
Well, the granddaughter never knew that her grandma was in the military. And she said, I learned so much that
day. What a special moment.
About my grandmother.
Cool.
She goes,
very
I was
cool.
so nervous about going there, you know, and everybody's telling me beware, because it was very good. The family was very prepared. You know, like, let everybody know who's coming, things are going to be different and everything. She said, but I got to learn all this stuff about my grandma, and her grandma so enjoys, you know, telling the stories.
And she'll always remember that visit, so.
Yeah. Oh, both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them. But right now, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. so I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, and we're back. Yes, we're back. We were just chatting about an event that's coming up that I want to let you guys know about. It is Thursday, January 5th, and it is at the Largo Community Center from 9 to 2. And it's a senior resiliency seminar, senior resources and strategy seminar. There'll be some great speakers. There is adult daycare provided courtesy of Neighborly Care Network, where pick up your loved one and care for them while you're there that day. So it's kind of a cool thing. You can go to this wonderful seminar and your loved one could maybe have their first experience of what it's like.
There's a lot of value in that, by the way. It doesn't sound that interesting or sexy on its front end, but I'm telling you, I've been to these and I've participated in these before. If you're dealing with caregiving issues, you should definitely check this out. Is there a website or something they can look at to get to that information?
Well, they can go to my website.
Okay, well, that's a good one.
Which is lindaburhans.com. I don't know if they have it on the Largo thing yet. We're just really firming everything up.
Excellent.
Also want to let you know, so I've been getting some calls. There's a program called Diapers with Dignity, for Dignity. So you can get pull-ups, tab breeze pads, and pads for the bed and friend, totally free of charge. And it is from the Disability Achievement Center in Largo. So you can give them a call at 727-539-7550. And also the Disability Achievement Center, I'm so cool. They've been putting these Moby mats out on the beach so people can, with wheelchairs, can go on.
Those are great. They're so cool.
Amazing.
So cool.
So they're launching a brand new one Monday, December 5th at St. Pete Beach, which is fabulous. Also, the Disability Achievement Center, this is what they sent me, weight loss or gain can be an indicator of three serious medical conditions. But what happens if you rely on a wheelchair for all your mobility needs? So most medical providers do not have scales that can weigh the person while they're in their wheelchair.
Really?
But the Disability Achievement Center has one now.
Very cool.
If anybody needs or has a concern, they can contact them. And this is another one of their missions, to make sure that there are more of these available for people.
I've never really even thought about how do you deal with that particular kind of a situation, and how do you get a person's weight when they're in a wheelchair?
Right.
How do you do it easily, I should say.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And without
very cool.
breaking their bones
yeah.
or something.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Lots of issues.
If they're so fragile yeah. or whatever. So you can contact my friend Jody Armstrong at the Disability Achievement Center. And their phone number is 727-539-7550. I am so blessed to live and work in Pinellas County in this Tampa Bay area because there is so much available.
And, resource rich,
and
for sure.
Yes, we have a great team of people that work together. You know, if I don't have the answer, I know somebody that has the answer. And what I love, if somebody calls you and Arden Courts is not the right fit for their loved one, you're not going to just leave them flat.
Never.
No,
you know,
absolutely not.
Never. And that's so important because, you know, I go and speak at other states and other conferences. It's not the same. A lot of people are like, all right, you're stepping on my toes. Like, you know, here there's plenty of business for all of us.
Yes, there is.
You know, none of us are going out of business. So let's not worry about that. So, Sean, we have some questions that listeners has sent in. And this is, what is the difference between a Medicaid specialist and an elder law attorney?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think what you mean by Medicaid specialist is a non-professional person doing Medicaid planning. And this is actually a big problem. And there's, believe it or not, there was a Supreme Court case in the state of Florida that ruled that these people that are doing this Medicaid planning for people and helping them qualify for Medicaid benefits are actually practicing law without a license.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I went to law school. Okay. And there's a reason why I go through continuing education
right.
courses and CLUs and all of these other things. And I'm regulated and monitored by the Florida Bar. All of these things are designed in some sense to protect the client, to make sure that they're going to be taken care of. Professionally.
And laws change and qualifications change.
And when it comes to this Medicaid thing, I cannot even begin to tell you how crazy this law is.
If you cross one T the wrong way.
It's really, really kind of tricky stuff. So now you have these people that decide that, oh, I'm going to go do this Medicaid planning and get people qualified for Medicaid and basically interpret the law, tell what the law is to that client, interface with them and have them do certain things in order to become eligible for benefits. When they're not a lawyer. And I don't understand why people don't want to go to the lawyer. If I am sick and I need something done with me, I'm going to a doctor.
Right,
I'm
right.
not going to the guy on the corner that plays a doctor.
Because they're afraid the lawyer's going to cost so much money. That's the deal.
And that just
it's wrong.
And it's you know, you can't see me on the radio losing my mind here.
You can see him on YouTube.
But it ends up costing you more. A lot of the people that are still kind of doing this in our community, they will hold themselves out. They'll market themselves as we're going to qualify you for Medicaid benefits, do all these things. And then when it comes down to it, not only are you going to pay them to do that, but then they're going to find some lawyer who doesn't. Who's not an elder law attorney and a Medicaid specialist like me to be the lawyer to do these certain things that the lawyer thinks that they think the lawyer has to do. So now you end up paying the lawyer
two times.
You pay them. And it ends up costing you more.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been doing this for 33 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Yeah. So there's a huge difference. Bottom line, the difference being we're professional. We're monitored by the Florida Bar. We're trained on this, and we have continuing education issues. You have recourse if I make a mistake.
Yeah.
Which I don't, by the way. But if I did,
right.
you would have recourse.
Right.
If this Medicaid planner makes a mistake, you don't have much to
do.
Be able to do in that situation.
It's okay? like having your friend help you.
It's like having your friend help you, and that can be very dangerous. So if you're dealing with Medicaid issues, if you're dealing with planning for care in the future and public benefits, get with somebody that does this as a professional.
And been doing it for a while.
33 years in my case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time I say that, I can't believe that. Are you kidding me?
I know.
I've been doing this for that long? Doesn't
right.
seem like it, so.
But, you know, that's why I watch who I align myself with. I want to be with people that have been in this playground for a long time and know
yep.
what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, it's like you go to Arden Courts, people work at Arden Courts 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, and we're talking about even the kitchen staff. That's huge.
You know, I remember when Arden Courts first came on the scene, and That's how old I am.
You said it, not me.
I know. I can see it in your eyes. And my first, and we were talking about this earlier. My first first art and courts I went to is actually the one at Largo, the building where you are at.
Which I was honored to hear.
And it is. Was absolutely amazing. I cannot tell you how amazing. One of the things I remember, though, I meant to tell you this, is when I got to the parking lot at Arden Courts, and they made a point to show me that there was no curb, so that the parking lot and the sidewalk were on exactly the same level when you walk into the building. And they were like, do you know why? And I'm like, no, because I didn't know anything. Well, people with cognitive issues, memory impairment sometimes, they have a gait issue, they have a walking issue, and we want to make it as successful as possible for our people. So we're not going to put a barrier in between them and us. And I was like, mind blown. It was so cool.
And little things like that are throughout the building, and we call those our fall mitigation techniques. Yeah. So it's built into the design of the building to make them, as you said, as successful as possible. And so it's when you're touring the community, you know, it's not super obvious, but there are things like that in every aspect of the community.
Yeah, and as you become better educated, you know, and you appreciate these kinds of things.
I didn't even know it was a problem at the time.
Exactly.
And now you're solving problems I didn't even know we had. It was great.
And so I will point all of those things out as we tour, but certainly it even is food for thought when you're thinking about your own home, if you have your loved one at home. So we provide home safety checks. We provide, you know, cognitive testing at home and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's really important. And next Friday, I have a live support group at Arden Courts in Seminole at 10 o'clock. And one of the fabulous things about Arden Courts, when I did support groups with you, we have the journaling workshop. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you want, you can bring your loved one to the support group, and they will entertain and care for your loved one while you're in the support group. And then, you know, you get to see the community, you get to be in the community, you get to see the community, you get to see how your loved one enjoyed being there with some other people, you know, doing the same thing they're doing.
Yep,
so,
very cool.
Yeah, it's next Friday at 10 o'clock. So if you're interested, just go to lindaburhans.com, and the information is right there where you can RSVP. And then on Thursday, we have our online journaling workshop.
We sure do.
Which has been...
What is that?
It's been a little over a year now we've been doing this. Yeah. And it's very interesting because some people don't want to come to a support group.
Sure.
Because I don't need a support group.
Lots of reasons.
Okay, but why don't you come to the journaling workshop? Maybe you could vent.
Oh, cool.
So I'll come to the journaling workshop, and I'll let's say I'll put out a prompt, and I'll say, I remember when.
This is online?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it like a Zoom thing or something? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. How cool.
And so everybody starts writing, and then I'll say, does anybody want to share? And somebody will say, I remember when I could still have a conversation with my husband.
Mm.
And somebody else will say, yeah, I remember that too. So it's like a journaling workshop and support group together.
Yes. I market it as it's the support group for people who don't like support groups. And people seem to relate to that.
And you see, we're easy. You know what it is? You become friends. And when you're journaling and sharing just a little bit about journaling, you're really getting to know each other a whole lot better.
Super intimate.
You know, it was like one time I was like, I want you to write a note to someone that has really made a difference in your life. Just a short thank you note. And whether it's somebody, whether they're alive or dead or whatever, I want you to do that. And all of a sudden, I'm watching all the screens are shutting down. Because I know they're getting emotional.
Oh.
And then a little while later, they come back up.
Shut that video off, huh?
Yeah.
Right,
but it's good because when you feel your heart, you do the right thing. And when you know you're not alone, it's so fabulous.
Yes, because most of them go throughout their day feeling like they're pretty alone. So, and a lot of them feel like they can't leave their... They have this thing, even when we offer adult daycare for support groups, they feel like they can't leave their loved ones.
Yeah.
So it being on a virtual platform is helpful as well.
Yeah, it's very easy. And I'm telling you, my sister started coming to the group. And one day I throw out some question about, what are you worried about or something? She says, I'm worried my husband's going to get dementia. I'm your sister. Why don't you talk to me?
Yeah.
That never came up.
We don't talk about the things we're afraid of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
So, so it's a good thing. And we have a lot of laughs, too. You see,
Aaron,
when you came on the last one, we're just all having a good time, which is really good. Okay, Sean, we have another question here. What is voluntary guardianship?
God, we've talked about this before in the past. You know, guardianship is an issue where typically a person has lost the ability to take care of themselves. They've lost executive function. They've lost their mind, however you want to, you know, label that. And you go to court to prove that they're incapacitated, and then you appoint somebody to kind of fill their shoes. This is called a guardian. A lot of hearings, a lot of process that you have to go through. There's some costs associated with that. And in some cases, the guardian that you may be appointed for that person may be a professional guardian, which is good, but not anybody that you know. They may not be family, and so it can get a little bit of an issue. So typically, you try to avoid a guardianship by having a power of attorney in place to make sure that we know who should be your second in command if you can't take care of your business. Power of attorney avoids having to go to the court and get a guardian appointed for you. Mm-hmm. There is this kind of different thing called a voluntary guardianship. And in, unlike a regular guardianship where you have to prove that the person is incapacitated, you have to prove that you have capacity, because you as the person are coming in and say, I want somebody else to be
able. I don't want to make any decisions.
I want somebody else to do that for me.
Yeah.
Can I get that now? Yeah, there are days I myself.
But it's like true. I'm 85 years old. I trust my daughter. I'm tired of making decisions.
Correct. Or I don't trust my daughter and I need somebody else to take care of my business. Right. Or I want them to. Maybe I see that I'm not doing the best I can, but I'm still competent.
So I have a question. What if I am fully capacitated, I can pass memory screenings, but I did just receive a diagnosis of dementia? So I know I'm okay now, but like maybe faltering a little bit, but I know what's down the road.
And at that point in time, assuming, and again, a diagnosis of Alzheimer's does not mean you're incompetent at all.
Right.
Okay. Because that is a wide spectrum of where you can be on that train. But it might attenuate you to the future of where you're not going to be able to do things. So you can say, I'd like to have a voluntary guardian come in and start taking care of my business for me. You have to be competent in order to do that. Okay.
And now, how do they prove competency?
How do they prove competency? I think it's a factual determination by the court as to whether or not you're competent. I don't believe it's not typically a strict test necessarily, but that is one of the key features, is that you have to be competent. But here's the thing. If you're going to jump through all of those hoops, why wouldn't you use a power of attorney and say, okay, if you don't already have one, which you should, by the way.
Everyone.
Okay, but
at
that's
ages.
Another topic.
Yeah.
If this can be a time when you're clued into like, oh, well, if I can't take care of my business, I really want my wife or my son or my daughter.
Or my best friend.
Or my best friend to be able to slot in and be me. Well, do that while you're competent.
Does a voluntary guardianship protect you in any ways that a durable power of attorney doesn't?
It does. That's a great question. So what's the difference between a power of attorney and this guardianship thing? Well, the power of attorney doesn't have a lot of checks and balances necessarily on it. It's your son or daughter, they're
just
you,
they can do anything, okay.
Right? Which is fine. We want them to be able to do anything. But there's always a case where maybe they do something they're not supposed to do, right?
Some of those rogue kids, you know.
Which is very rare, by the way, but that is a risk. That is a risk.
Yeah.
So the voluntary guardianship, now this is monitored by the court. They have to file a report.
Okay.
They're licensed at that point in time. So it does provide you some additional protections, but it comes at a cost. You know, the lawyer, the fees, all these things to do it. So I don't. In 33 years of doing this, I don't think I've ever done a voluntary guardianship.
Okay, so this isn't like a normal thing.
Extremely rare, yeah.
Okay. Before we go to the next question, we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors. Rachel, you're going to be leaving soon, right?
I am going to be leaving
soon. So where can our listeners find you?
Everybody can find me on, obviously, Google at Art and Courts of Largo. You can find our main website, or you can call me at 727-543-8383. You can call me with any dementia or care-related questions or anything else.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Excellent, excellent.
All right, now it's time to hear from our wonderful partner, so don't go away.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yes, that football walker is very cool, and it is now covered by insurance. So go to thefootballwalker.com, because not only does it help your loved one, it really helps the caregiver with injury and with everything else. So we have another question here for you, Sean. What happens to my home if I go on Medicaid?
That is a great question. Obviously, our home is one of our biggest assets that we have. It represents so much to us psychologically and emotionally. That's where we put oftentimes a lot of our life savings, and it's the biggest thing we own.
That's it, yeah.
And so now I want to go on Medicaid because I need help to pay for the cost of my care, either in your home, maybe in assisted living, or ultimately in a nursing home. So what happens to that house? The good news here is in Florida, your home is, I call, like a super protected asset.
Okay.
First of all, Medicaid doesn't count its value when determining your eligibility.
Oh.
So you have a $400,000 house.
Deal.
It's not going to interfere with you being eligible. It has a zero value as far as your eligibility is concerned. So that's a big plus. And then there's another thing that a lot of times people don't think about is, well, what happens after I'm dead?
Yeah.
So I've been on Medicaid for 3 or 4 years. Medicaid's paid $400,000 out for my care. At the end of your life, believe it or not, Medicaid comes back and says, hey, you need to pay us back.
Really?
Medicaid doesn't give you any benefits. They lend that money to you. And when you die, Medicaid is tasked with reaching out to your estate to get paid back for what they paid for you.
Oh, my God.
And a lot of times, the way this works, the only big asset that you have when you die is this nice, fat, juicy house. So are they going to take my house when I'm dead? That's a good question. Most people don't ask that. And here's the cool answer. In Florida, we have this thing called Florida Constitutional Homestead. It's a law that's written into our Constitution, the highest law in the state of Florida. And it basically says that if your home is going to somebody related to you by blood, your family, then no creditor can assert a claim against it.
Thank God.
And since Medicaid is a creditor, they want to get paid. They cannot get paid out of your house. Your house will end up going to your kids. Medicaid won't be able to touch it. So not counted for purposes of eligibility and not being able to be claimed after you're dead by your creditors, including Medicaid.
Now that's the law in Florida.
It's not the law in every state.
Okay.
Yeah, Medicaid is a little tricky when you get out of the state of Florida. Basically what I tell my clients is there's 50 different Medicaid laws in this country. Every state's Medicaid law is unique to that state.
Okay.
Now, generally, they're very similar, kind of like their purpose and some of the similar guidelines, but how it's implemented and what is what and what you can and cannot do is very different. There are things that you can do in Florida in order to qualify for Medicaid benefits that would disqualify you for benefits in the state of Michigan, for example.
All right.
So, got to be very careful. You can't portableize. You can't take what you know about Medicaid in Florida and reapply it to any other state.
Okay, but what about my other documents? So, I just moved here from Ohio.
Right.
So, my POA, my...
Yeah, this is a great question. Obviously, we have a lot of people coming into our community from up north, right?
And more and more.
And more and more. And they come into town, and they have done their documents before they get here.
They figure I'm good to go.
And I had one. After a conference, the lady came up and said, can I have a free conference or a consultation with you? And we sat down, and I was looking at her stuff, and she's like, well, I didn't think I have a problem because I just moved from Michigan 3 months ago, and right before we came down here, I had all my stuff done. And I'm like, great, in Michigan, but you're not in Michigan anymore. So here's the short and simple answer to this. I believe that when you move to a new jurisdiction, you should have your documents localized to that jurisdiction.
Yeah, why not? That's where you live in.
So your Michigan power of attorney will be okay for some things. But here's the point. And that one case I was talking about, in my practice, when we're qualifying people for Medicaid, their income is important. How much income they have in Florida is one of the criteria to determine if you're eligible. If you have too much income, you're not eligible unless you do something called an income trust. All right. So a lot of times the power of attorney person is the person that's signing this income trust. In order for them to do that, the piece of paper, the power of attorney paper, has to specifically say that they can sign that income trust.
Wow.
So here's the deal with Michigan. Michigan doesn't have that rule. In Michigan, they don't care what your income is to determine your eligibility. It's not part of the criteria. It's not relevant.
Okay.
So in Michigan, their power of attorney doesn't have anything related to the ability to create this income trust because that is a solution to a problem they don't have.
Okay.
So you show up with your Michigan power of attorney here, that terminology won't be in your document. So localize.
Well, Sean, as always thank you
good.
So much for
All
being
right,
here
awesome.
Today.
Love being here.
Caregivers, you know where I am if you need me. I'm here to help you in any way I can. Probably the easiest way to reach me is through my website, lindaburhans.com. Tune in again next week for another fabulous show. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing's going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will.